Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did in fact capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way. But
yeah, how about that? That, of course, is we love getting him on all the time, Jonathan Turley, analyzing what's going on in a New York courtroom this morning. We're in a few minutes. They will have a hearing to determine if Donald Trump should be held in contempt and fined $10,000. It's like it's anything they can do to rub his nose in it just a little bit more, isn't it?
Yeah, it's laughable at this point.
It is. It really is something to watch. Anyway, glad you're back with us here on the show this morning. And we want to get a little analysis on that from our friend Mark Lotter, who former special assistant to President Trump and with, of course, America First Policy Institute. Mark, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. Thanks for giving us a minute this morning. We appreciate that. What are your thoughts on this trial, where it's going, how the jury selection went, and what kind of a chance you think President Trump has here?
Well, I mean, this thing fits the very definition of trumped up charges.
Yeah.
I mean, as Jonathan Turley so brilliantly pointed out, look, this is a misdemeanor bookkeeping issue, which the statute of limitations had run out on. But it's important because, you know, what they're trying to do is say that this was part of a conspiracy to violate federal law, which the federal government investigated and never charged.
Yes. Yeah. And
the federal government didn't say that this was a crime, and yet they're alleging a conspiracy for a crime that didn't exist.
The point they made was lots of people sign NDAs. Bill Clinton is famous for paying Paula Jones $850,000 to go away. A lot of people do this. And a lot of people try to do things that will influence the outcome of elections. He wasn't buying votes. He's by far the first politician to do this, including John Edwards, right?
Well, yeah, John Edwards was actually charged by the federal government for doing this because he used campaign funds for this.
Right.
Now, the jury, it was a hung jury, and they never decided to refile the charges. But clearly, the federal government viewed the use of campaign funds to pay these kinds of payments was illegal, even though obviously he was not convicted by a jury. Well, Donald Trump didn't use campaign funds for this. I mean, so he didn't violate the federal law.
Right.
And again, they didn't charge him. But now there's some grand conspiracy in New York. And the thing that really irks me, and with this judge and this whole contempt thing, I mean, think about this for a minute. This judge has threatened to send Donald Trump to Rikers Island to jail if he attends his son's high school graduation. Yet, also in Manhattan, in the same jurisdiction, you can be a Biden illegal, beat up NYPD officers, get let out of jail and with no bond, and allowed to travel anywhere in the country you want at taxpayer expense.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's completely upside down. With this having to be unanimous with the jury, do you feel like Donald Trump will get away with, you know, being found not guilty? Or you think they're going to end up saying, yeah, you're guilty of this?
Well, you never know. I mean, it's New York, but I would hope that, and there are a couple of lawyers on there, there are a couple of educated professionals on there, that you would think that if, you know, if his lawyers can make the case, and if they truly say and have an open mind, they'll be like, wait a minute, this wasn't a federal crime. So therefore, you can't have a conspiracy to do it. Therefore, it is a misdemeanor bookkeeping issue, which even if they convict him of a misdemeanor bookkeeping issue, big deal. But, I mean, it's the statute of limitations has run out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, this thing is just entirely a joke designed to get him in court 4 days a week so he can't be on the campaign trail.
Right.
Well, I wanted to play for you the soundbite on a different issue from Joe Biden yesterday. When he was asked about these protests that are going on colleges all across the country, including up at Columbia, where I think they've got 100 more people camped out this morning. This is what the president's reaction was, Mark.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
So is that the equivalent of saying there are good people on both sides of this?
That's the way I would read it. Look, you know, there's only one right side on terrorism, and that's being against it.
Yes.
And what you see being done on these campuses by the woke radical left, and the Democrat Party. I mean, there's nobody out there with MAGA hats on, let's be honest. Because, you know, we know what side folks are, you know, who support Israel, support the war on terror. I mean, Israel was attacked. And think about this again for a moment. Ukraine is attacked by and invaded by its neighbor, and we must give unlimited funds and fund their war, you know, blank check, as long as they're willing to fight. Israel is attacked, and they are the ones who are told, you must have a ceasefire. You must stand down. We're going to tell you you can't strike back, or tell you when and how you can strike back. And to me, there's only two possible reasons for why we are told we must fund the war in Ukraine and not support Israel. And that's either anti-Semitism or politics. And I accuse Joe Biden of both.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Mark Lotter, thank you for your time this morning.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you guys.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Good to get him on here and get his perspective on what's going on. The Israel thing is blowing up, but we've been trying to get a hold of Alexis McAdams from Fox News. She's on the campus of Columbia this morning, and there are calls now for the president to resign, among other things. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, is withdrawing all of his financial support for the school because of the anti-Semitic nature of what's been allowed to happen on the campus up there. We're going to get to all that for you coming up in just a minute.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, the foreign aid package was controversial, to say the least, in the House, and now it has moved over to the Senate. And a few senators, I know, like Ron Johnson, have been suggesting that he's trying to hold conservatives together over there to prevent this from passing if there's not some border aspect to it. And we invited our friend Chad Perger from Fox News to join us. He's been covering the story. Chad, welcome back.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Always appreciate your analysis on these things. Has Ron Johnson got the support he would need to stop this thing in the Senate?
Not a chance.
No.
And there's just not Ron Johnson who's upset. You have Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, Rand Paul, some others. They're very skeptical of this bill. Now, here's what's interesting. So the House passed this in four individual parts of this bill. Ukraine aid, Taiwan aid, Israel aid, bill on sanctions for Iran, but also to curb access to TikTok unless they divest themselves from the Chinese government. What they did is they rolled this all into one bill. So it's a take it or leave it scenario. You're going to have if you let our recent history be our guide, you had 70 senators, bipartisan senators, vote for this back in February. Similar bill, didn't have the TikTok provisions. More Republicans voted no than yes, 26 Republican no's, 22 Republican yeas. We wonder if the TikTok provision, and that's going to become law, that is going to be law, that China has to divest itself of TikTok or it's going to get banned in the United States. I mean, you know, now we expect a lot of court action and things like that over the next couple of years, but that is going to happen because that's going to be part of this bill. And it will pass probably with about 70 votes. It might even pass with a couple of more because TikTok is now in the bill. The other thing to watch out for here are Democrats, liberals. Bernie Sanders had put out a statement last night, independent senator from Vermont, very skeptical of this bill because of how it handles Israel. Peter Welch, who's a Democrat from Vermont, also he voted against the bill the last time because some don't think that that Israel has handled its prosecution of the war very fairly. There are human rights abuses, they say, in Gaza, and they don't think that this is enough aid in the humanitarian lane for the Palestinians. So, you know, you have a lot of strange bedfellows on this, but this bill will probably pass either later today in the Senate or tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, Johnson sounded fairly confident. Of course, I guess that's his job, right?
I mean, I don't know how anybody could say that it wasn't going to pass. I mean, the bill passed. I mean, all three of those bills passed with more than 300 votes in the House. As I say, it passed with 70 votes in the Senate back in February. You need 60 votes to crack a filibuster. I say it's about the math. The math is not in Ron Johnson's favor at all. I mean, it just doesn't add up.
I wanted to ask you about something I think I just saw you post on X about 10 minutes ago with Senator Josh Hawley, I believe, writing to Biden saying you need to get the National Guard involved here with these anti-Semitic protests on college campuses. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, more and more you've had Republican lawmakers start to weigh in on this and some Democratic lawmakers. You had members of the New York delegation, both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, very concerned about the anti-Semitism on campus there. You had Elise Stefanik write to the president of Columbia, very upset about this. You know, she's kind of taken on the Ivy League schools. That's been one of her, you know, cause celebs over the past several months here. And in the Josh Hawley letter here, he basically says that that, you know, especially around the time of Passover, you know, we've seen his term here, harassment and calls for violence against Jews. This blatant anti-Semitism is reprehensible and dangerous. And it has absolutely no place on college campuses or anywhere in our country. Now you, Mr. President, must take action to match those words. So, you know, this is falling into the lap of Capitol Hill here as well.
Yeah. You know, Chad, I just are you as taken aback as I have been in the change in Senator John Fetterman? I don't know if there was something there I didn't see all along, if it was the effects of the stroke he had suffered back to before the campaign or whatever. He makes more and more sense every time I hear from him these days. And yesterday, he was pretty rough on these people that are protesting on these college campuses.
You know, again, he's somebody who, you know, he's not a cookie cutter.
No,
you know, he was portrayed as a progressive. I did a lengthy interview with him about a month ago, where he had talked about, you know, what we need to do on the border. He wasn't for going quite as extreme as some House Republicans were, but it was pretty close, frankly, just because he says this is something we have to address. He has been more vocal than his Democratic counterparts in calling for the ouster or resignation or something regarding Bob Menendez, the Democratic senator from New Jersey, where you get a lot of platitudes and things like that, boilerplate from Chuck Schumer, who says, you know, he's not met the standards of our conduct and says pretty much the same thing every time you ask Schumer about it. Not Fetterman. I mean, he lets it rip when you talk to him. And so I think that is the frankness. You know, he had the heart attack. He had the stroke. He had the suffering from depression, was hospitalized last year. You know, a big sea change. You come into the Senate. You're a very powerful person, one of 100. And you could see where people didn't really know him. Now we're kind of getting to know him. And in the interview that I did with him, you know, he says, I told people I was not necessarily a progressive. I mean, he's kind of an old school Iron City Democrat, frankly.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of his politics in that sense. But some of this other stuff that bleeds to the progressives and the left, that's not something that he really cottons to.
It's been kind of fun to watch that transformation since he took office up there, for sure. Chad Pergram, we always love your insights, my friend. Thank you.
thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. We will talk again soon. Chad Pergram there from Fox News.
It's good that Fetterman's becoming maybe a little bit more conservative, because on the other hand, you have Mike Johnson, who I think is surprising us. None of us really knew who the guy was until he became Speaker and thought he was this really great Christian conservative. And I think a lot of us have been disappointed.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. For those of you who missed the Fetterman bite earlier, I'm going to play it, Carl, just one more time, if that's okay.
I support that. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
Yeah, I skipped the part where he called them a-holes. Because that's just what comes out of his mouth,
unscripted,
right?
Unscripted, yeah.
Yeah, he just completely unscripted these days. He still looks like Uncle Fester, but he's fun to watch.
He should have a podcast, John Fetterman Unscripted. People would listen to that.
He might. I can see the guy getting reelected in Pennsylvania, because yeah. it's almost like a John Kennedy kind of
John
honesty.
Kennedy.
Yep, John Kennedy. I called him a meathead. And a minute, or is it butthead? No.
Mr. Comey is a meathead.
That's it. All right, we're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
And the Democrats aren't sorry about it. They aren't going to back off of what they are doing. They literally want him dead. Benny Thompson introduced a bill to take away his Secret Service protection. That's how serious they are. They want President Trump dead. They want to lock him up in jail for the rest of his life so that he dies in jail, and they want to take away his Secret Service protection so that he is murdered somewhere in jail, possibly. This is how serious they are.
Yes, it is. I agree. I mean, why would you want to take they said if he gets sentenced to jail, they want to take away his Secret Service clearance or security. Why would you do that? That, again, you just got people that are just trying to poke the bear. Carl, I see that Fox News is running an interview with Andy McCarthy right now. Donald Trump spoke just a moment ago before he walked into court for this contempt decision that they will hear this morning. Let's see what Andy has to say.
And going back to what Carl said a few minutes ago to you about, like, the unimportance or the relative unimportance of the case compared to other things, There's an election going on here, and Trump is in a situation where everybody he is competing with in the contest is able to talk to their heart's content about all the allegations about them, and he can't speak about them. That's a problem not for the administration of justice. That's a problem for the principle that the public should have robust debate in connection with a political campaign, and that we want our elections decided at the ballot box and not the courtroom. But these courts have not had any given any sense that they understand that the administration of justice, as important an interest as it is, has to make accommodations for other constitutional interests in this system.
Yeah, that's true. That the Andy McCarthy there speaking out now that the trial is just about to start again. As soon as they decide whether they should fine Donald Trump $10,000, you know what I would love if that happened? I'd love him to pull his wallet out and say, "Can I pay you now?"
Sounds like what Trump would do.
Seriously, because if anybody's likely to have a $10,000 bill in their wallet, it would be Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nothing for him. Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm looking at the drawing, because cameras aren't allowed in the courtroom. So, of course, they have to have like a sketch artist to draw it. And I'm just laughing, looking at the image. One of them looked really funky.
Can you imagine you go out and find some abstract artist to draw Donald Trump?
Because I wondered if it was maybe a liberal who can't stand Donald Trump and was like, I'm going to draw the ugliest sketch of him possible and make him look very angry. Because that's what the network news outlets are going to flash all over their screens today, and really any day that this trial is going on, which is, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, that used to be a lot more common in local news coverage. They used to cover a lot more trials. They don't tend to do that as much these days. But we had a courtroom sketch artist on speed dial. I mean, we would call him up, and he'd go sit in the court, and he'd bring us out the sketches afterwards, and we'd have to, you know, get video of them and then get them back to the station so they could be made into something we could drop into our packages. And It was more time consuming.
I mean, and I'm not trying to knock the artist. I can't draw for my life. I'm a terrible artist, and the person's moving around. You're trying to draw them very quickly. I understand that. It's making light of the sketch of Donald Trump.
It looked like
doesn't
a
look great.
Caricature.
It did look like a caricature. Like the exaggerated features and the one I saw did not look like him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree completely. His hair made his hair look real sharp.
He looked angry. He looked pissed off.
He is pissed off.
Well, he is pissed off, but it made him look angrier.
And you can't blame him for being upset about all that. He did have a win yesterday. I don't know if you heard that or not, against Letitia James. Go ahead and play cut seven, Carl, please.
All right, so here's the breaking news. And the former federal prosecutor, Cherkasky, and I were just talking about this. And he said this was not going to hold up. He said Trump's going to be fine. So the court has just ruled that the bond, that $175 million bond that Trump put up, will stand despite the fight that the woman on the right, Letitia James, the attorney general of New York, was trying to slide in. And what did Cherkasky call it? He called it, she was trying to play a legal technicality, saying that the insurance company that Trump was using wasn't going to have the resources to back up that bond should he fail an appeal. Well, the court says the bond can stay. $175 million needs to be in cash, not mutual funds or securities where value can fluctuate. Knight Insurance cannot trade or move the money, but they will have control of the account and will provide a monthly financial statement to the attorney general showing $175 million in cash.
Letitia James tried to get a ruling that the company couldn't be used by Donald Trump because it wasn't officially registered with the state of New York. So in other words, if it wasn't a company doing business in the state of New York, Donald Trump couldn't use them, even if they were a licensed bonding agency. And the judge said, this is ridiculous. What are you trying to do here? You're trying to bankrupt the man, clearly, because he faced your challenge and answered it, and now you want to try to go back and defeat him again somehow.
Yeah. No, she's going to do anything she possibly can to make it where this man is as miserable as possible. Like you said, bankrupts him.
There is an attitude in this country that success should be punished. It's prevalent among the progressive leaders in this country right now, that you should look down upon or suspiciously at anybody who has succeeded in life. Think about that. The average American doesn't have an emergency fund to cover $5,000 in expenses. And Donald Trump, through his business acumen and success, has access to cover $175 million judgment, which should never have been made if he absolutely has to. And the left would say, well, he deserves that. He should be punished because they want to suggest he somehow didn't come across that money honestly. There are some extraordinarily wealthy people in this country who've absolutely done it the right way. I don't like Jeff Bezos. I don't like his politics. I don't like the Microsoft guy. I don't like any, like most of them. But I'm not jealous of them. They built a better mousetrap than me. I wish I'd thought of Apple all those years ago, mm-hmm. Right?
That's how I feel when
Bill
I watch
Gates,
Shark Tank.
I mean, dude, no kidding.
I'm like, man, I could have come up with that, but I'm not angry at the people who came up with it. I'm like, wow, that was really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had thought of that.
It's not fair attitude is the Barack Obama. They've been preaching for a long time. He made it mainstream for the Democrat Party. We need to go out and penalize anybody who's uber successful and make them pay more, when right now the top 10% of all taxpayers in this country, and just think about this, if you earn over $100,000, you're like in the top 5% of all wage earners in America. And the top 10% already pay 85 or 90% of all taxes in this country. But it's about jealousy is all it comes down to, and punishing somebody who's done better than you. It's a shame that we fall into that in America, where American dreams can still come true if you work hard, or if you steal it from somebody else. Take out a loan, let somebody else pay it back.
A lot of people like that option.
I think you're right. I'll take what's behind curtain number two, please, Mr. Biden. We'll be back in just a minute.
Before you go, I do want to ask you about one of your fellow senators posting that video out of Wakely, the alleged attack, and Elon Musk really showing contempt for the government and its approach on this issue. What's your take on the tech billionaire?
So when it comes to the tech billionaire, like I've already said, I think he's a social media knob with no social conscience. He has absolutely no social conscience. Someone like that should be in jail and the key be thrown away.
Listen to her. Listen to her again. Did you hear that? She wants him thrown in jail in Australia. And the key should be thrown away. Listen.
That bloke should not have a right to be out there on his own ideology platform and creating hatred, showing all this stuff out there to our kids and doing all the rest. I'm very interested to watch what the US is going to do with TikTok.
So she's upset because there was a stabbing incident over there in Australia. Videos of it popped up because there were people there with phones, just like in the US. And Elon Musk allowed those videos to stay up on his platform. And the government wanted them taken down. So every time you hear a story like this, I want you to sit back, get out your pocket constitution, and read about your First Amendment rights, right? And be thankful that you have a constitution and a Bill of Rights in the United States of America, because there are plenty of places in the world, and Australia is one of them, where the Democrats would love to have the freedom and be unhindered by the First and Second Amendments. They would shut down any speech or anything they didn't like. That this is exactly what they're doing in Australia. They want Elon Musk locked up in a jail cell because he stands for freedom of speech. They can't stand it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that the government, any government, is trying to dictate what's on social media, that is a huge problem. And we obviously know that's been going on for quite some time now with the Biden administration.
The Aussies are plenty crazy. They've already banned guns and everything else over there. But rounded them all up, melted them down.
I mean, they went nutso with the COVID stuff. Watch of them dragging women out, screaming because they were, protesting, having to wear a mask over their face. It didn't even work.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to hear that. First of all, I wanted to hear her accent. But second of all, I wanted you
That's the real reason, Mark. Just admit it, okay?
I wanted you to thank goodness for your free speech rights in this country. Speaking of free speech rights, there's a writer for USA Today. His name is Mike Freeman. It is his free speech thought that Caitlin Clark, he's enraged that Caitlin Clark got a shoe deal worth millions of dollars because she's white. He took to the page of USA Today to complain that basketball star Caitlin Clark got a shoe deal after she ended her college basketball career, mainly because she's white. Not because, mind you, she broke every record in women's college basketball handily and then continued to set new records every time she made a shot all the way through the end of her very final game in the championship game. Forget about all that. He's mad because there are currently four women in the WNBA that have shoe deals, and currently none of them happen to be women of color. But he ignores the fact that between 1995 and 2011, every signature shoe deal that came out of the WNBA belonged to a black woman. So he would have you believe that they're going backwards because Caitlin Clark and another white girl that's been in there for a while, Cameron Brink, is that her name? Have a shoe deal, it looks like.
I mean, some guy who writes for MSNBC came out and said that Major League Baseball is racist because only 6% of the league is made up of black players.
Okay.
Okay, so he feels like they don't have, their diversity efforts are awful, and they need to reevaluate how many black players they're taking in.
Well, I mean, they dominate the NBA. Athletes. I can't imagine it's a matter of athleticism.
That's my point. It's like, okay, well, I'm not sitting here saying, well, there's not enough white players in the NBA. I'm saying the white players clearly aren't good enough. They're not compared to some of the black players, so that's why the black players then are getting drafted.
Well,
they're
It's about tearing down meritocracy. Everything should be given to you. It should be equity, not equality.
Mm-hmm. Equal outcome. Screw equal opportunity.
All right, I tell you what, Kilmeade is up next. I'm sure we'll have more on the trial out of New York, the protests at Columbia, and all that for you today. Stay tuned for that. Keep it tuned right here to 97.1 FM Talk. Annie Fry, Mark Rudin in later today. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will see you back here Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.